Chapter 11, A Picnic on the Beach, Sunday, July 24th, 1988. We went to a department store next day in the morning. We checked a few things and bought some others. Then we looked for a place to make a photocopy. Since we could not find anyone open at the mall, we checked for some other places, but they were closed as well because it was Sunday. Finally, we found one open. I photocopied a dollar U.S. bill showing the picture of one of Lydia's son and added their family name, Clatt, to make it look more real. That was going to be Doug's birthday gift. At 4 o'clock, we went to an area in the city where I had never been before. It was a beach area where many people could spend their free time. It was a place where people could swim because the weather was very warm. Everything was handy. Even the parking lot was close to the seashore. Fortune smiled upon us. We were going to have a great time. Kirk had a dinghy with him, which everybody helped to inflate, of course. Once it was ready, Kirk took it to the lake and began to row. I was not sure whether to go into the water or not, but when I saw some clouds attempting to block the sun, I decided to go before it was too late. I spent over 40 minutes in the lake, but the longer I stayed, the colder it was for me. There were many people swimming and enjoying the water. The temperature of the water did not seem to bother them, as opposed to me, who was used to the warmer waters of the Mexican Sea. Jeremy put himself under the water to scare us. He and Kirk played for a while. The water got so cold for me that I had to come out. As Lydia enjoyed her grandchildren's company and the weather, I took several pictures. In that moment, I thought that I was living something I could hardly forget. After resting on the sand, Lydia prepared some food. We were there for many hours, but I did not try to get into the water again. Instead, I stayed with Lydia as her grandchildren kept on swimming. At 7 o'clock in the evening, we went back home and watched TV. Her grandchildren were going to stay with us next day, so we had nothing to worry about. I wrote 30 postcards to my family, friends, and students. Approximately at 10 o'clock, Sandra arrived. She was a very young woman. She was very kind with me and asked me about the time I had spent in Canada so far and also about my plans for the following days. We talked for a while and then I started conversing with her children. How do you write the sound a dog makes? As Lydia conversed with her daughter, her grandchildren and I started talking about the sounds made by animals. At the beginning, I thought it was an easy topic, but when we tried to write down the sound a dog makes, we could not come to an agreement. So we decided to make a list, and here is the result. I said the cat makes meow. They said the cat makes meow. I said the dog makes gua gua. They said the dog makes bow 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 wow. I said the bird makes pio pio. They said the bird makes chirp chirp. I said the rooster makes kik kik kik. They said the rooster makes cock a doodle doo. Anyway, these onomatopoeic differences in each language were part of our conversation. It was interesting to all of us because they are linguistic features we rarely pay attention to. Since Sandra and her children were going back to the United States, I asked them to mail my postcards on their way home. It was late, so I said good night to Lydia and told her that I was going to read before I went to bed. She said that reading was a good habit and showed me some audiobooks on self-help produced by the well-known writer Norman Vincent Peale. In that moment, I became aware of all the new things I was learning every day in different ways.